Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. Now Mark, it's been actually a number of weeks since we last chatted, so I really want to start big picture here and recap some of the recent economic data out of the U.S. Economic data has been moving markets, but it's also been kind of moving markets in that contradictory way where bad data can actually be good for the markets because of the way that investors are carrying over their expectations to what the Fed might do. Fact of the matter is a lot of the U.S. economic data we have seen recently has been softening, but that is off of some pretty extreme levels from that whole rebound trade, reopening trade, and when everybody was given all that money and just kept on spending it. Look, data has slowed, but it's not crashing. And I think that leaves everyone in a tough position saying, is the Fed going to slow down with its tightening policies, or is it going to stay the status quo when it's softening slowly? It gives the Fed that confidence to stick with the status quo. What's been your takeaway from the recent economic data that we have seen out of the U.S.?
I agree with you that there are plenty of signs that the economy is moderating. You know, the financial conditions in the U.S. have been tightening since last September, 6 months before the Fed finally raised interest rates. And these tightening of financial conditions, you can see the effect of it in a couple of sectors, housing especially. Even though house prices are going higher still throughout the U.S., you have weakening in activity like housing starts, sales, mortgage refis. And this is what you'd expect in a higher interest rate environment. But in addition to that, as we saw with today's U.S. jobs data, even though it came out a bit better than expected, that is, the U.S. created a bit more jobs than expected, call it about 400,000 net, 390, the actual print. That also represents a slowing of the recent average, which has been over 500,000. At the same time, I'd say that some of the survey data, we saw the ISM services weaker than people expected. We are seeing the economy slow down. And the Atlanta Fed's GDP Now tracker, before the jobs data, was looking at 1.3% growth, which is not contracting, but still below what we'd regard as trend growth in the U.S., probably closer to 1.8 to 2%. Economy slowing, and we're going to see this again next week with the CPI data, that even if CPI slips for the second month in a row, it's still proving pretty sticky, holding above 8% likely. So this keeps the Federal Reserve then on a clear tightening bias. I think there's a consensus that has emerged for 50 basis points in both this month and next month. And we heard at the end of May, the Atlanta Fed President Bostic talking about the possibility of a pause. I think it's too early to look for that. Instead, I'd be going the other way and looking for another 50 basis point hike at the September meeting. That would bring us to 4 50 basis point hikes, so you know, by the end of Q3, and it would bring us up just about to where some Fed officials believe is neutral.
Mark, that's an interesting point, because we also just had Lael Brainard of the Fed come out and say that she didn't think there was a reason to really pause, that they actually should keep trucking forward with the hikes, because again, their primary mission is bringing down the inflationary numbers. And even Biden had Powell over to the White House to kind of chide him along to keep fighting inflation, as it is front and center for most people, and rightly so. It's everybody's dealing with it in their own lives. But you also mentioned the growth coming in around 1.3% on the GDP Now forecast for Q2. That's coming off a negative quarter in Q1, so at least it's not negative. But in this slow growth environment and perpetually high inflation, do you think that what the Fed is going to do by even doing, let's say, 3 more rate hikes is really enough to bring inflation down to where it really would normalize it? They're saying that would be a normal rate for a Fed funds rate, but inflation is still far above that. So is it enough, or is it a little bit too late?
Two things, I guess. One is, I think you're right that the Federal Reserve is likely to go above neutral. Perhaps one of the most hawkish members of the Federal Reserve, St. Louis Fed President Bullard, him and Waller, who used to be his head of research, who's now a governor at the Fed, they sound very hawkish, as the hawkish members of the team would. But they sort of said that their views are much in, are very much in line with the market's views. And right now the market is estimating that at the end of the year, Fed funds, which now is targeting around 1%, will be just shy of 3%, call it between 2.75 and 3%, which tells me that the market is fully expecting the Fed to go above the neutral setting to actually have a tighter monetary policy.
Mark, how does this tie into other central banks too? Because we see the Bank of Canada, they're tightening. They just tightened again another 50 basis points this week, and they guided that they could even be more aggressive. Seems like the ECB, after saying at the beginning of this year that they weren't going to tighten this year, looks like they might be tightening this year. I realize the Fed does carry such a heavy hand, and we are talking U.S. data, but with all these central banks tightening, does that pull down the inflation data? Does that further pull down the markets, more importantly?
Yeah, I think that the problem is, I think this is what a challenge a lot of people see the Fed has, and other central banks for that matter, is that a lot of the shocks have come on the supply side. Supply side disruptions, supply chain disruptions, the closing of China, the lockdowns in China, what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. And so I think that Fed policy or central bank policy, it can really control, it can really have more influence on demand rather than supply. So what I sort of see central banks trying to do is reduce demand to bring it in line with supply, which they can't control, until business figures out how to expand supply. And so I think what this means is, yeah, other central banks are raising interest rates. The Fed is not the most aggressive right now. I think that the biggest shift has taken place with the ECB, as you mentioned, going from nothing this year. Now the market's pricing in 100 basis points between July and December. You mentioned the Bank of Canada, who said they might have to become more aggressive. They're also looking at raising their cash target rate, the overnight rate, above neutral, which neutral for them is 2 to 3%. We've seen other central banks say that they may have to take more decided action if needed, which means if inflation continues to rise. So I think that we're on the verge, I think, of, like we talked about, slowing U.S. economy. And remember what happened starting June 1st, the Fed going into QT mode, that's quantitative tightening, meaning that the balance sheet's going to begin shrinking. Bank of Canada's balance sheet has already begun shrinking. Bank of England's balance sheet's begun shrinking. The ECB likely will finish up buying bonds in the next few weeks. And so we're going to see more tightening coming than just from the interest rate side of things. So I think that this leaves us, at least the dollar, in a situation where it might be losing some interest rate support. And I think it leaves equity markets in a situation in which we know that officials, major economies, as well as many emerging market countries, want to tighten financial conditions further. And financial conditions is really just a buzzword, right, for interest rates, equity markets, currencies.
Well, Mark, let's talk about currencies. You're kind of our go-to currency expert here on the KE Report. And I wonder, and we were kind of musing about this before we started recording, is the recent shift in policy at the ECB where they're going to start possibly hiking rates soon and maybe get in that 100 basis points, is that responsible for a bounce in the euro? And was that what caused the dollars to sell off? And do you see that relationship holding, or is that just going to be a quick blip and then reverse?
You know, we saw happen from about the middle of May until the start of this week was probably the largest rally, largest bounce in the euro we've seen in a year. We basically went from about 103.5 to almost 108. This 108 area is important. There's a lot of retracement levels there. There's a trend line there, moving averages, but some old congestion, a lot of things coming around 108. My guess is that we're not going to get above 108. And instead, that bounce in the euro, from 103.5 to roughly 108, is over. We had the first leg down earlier this week. It stopped roughly at 106.50. Maybe it was 106.30, close to something like that. And then we got the other bounce that stopped just shy today of 107.65. So I think we've had one leg down. We had the bounce. And now I'm looking for one more leg down in the euro to just complete this move to see how durable that 103.50 low really is. I suspect if it's not the low for the move, it's very close to it. So I'm looking for After this, we've had a 2 or 3 week euro bounce. I'm looking for like a three-legged correction to the downside. We've had one leg already to down, one bounce back, and now I'm looking for next week for this third leg down. And I think that might be two big factors to consider that could happen. One is the ECB meeting late next week, and the market's looking for the ECB to become more aggressive. I'd say a hawkish hold. They might not raise rates in June. In fact, it's highly unlikely that they'll raise rates in June, but they'll signal a July rate hike. Nothing sounds unusual, a July rate hike, but what is unusual for the ECB is they have not changed rates except in an emergency to cut rates at any other meeting other than the ones in which the staff provides updated economic forecasts. So those are done on a quarterly basis. So next week we'll get staff updated forecast. They're likely to shave growth and revise inflation sharply higher. And I think the market's hesitant about being too aggressive on selling the euro ahead of the ECB meeting. Also next week, the U.S. gets the CPI number for May, and that's going to prove to be very sticky. So even though it likely, the headline of the core rate likely declined for the second consecutive month, the move is so small that it's not going to move anybody's needle. We're still talking about an 8% handle on U.S. CPI, which means the Federal Reserve cannot relax. By relaxing, I mean it can't go back to 25 basis points moves. It can't go to a pause that Bostic wanted. The Fed will have to be very aggressive later this month.
So, Mark, what is going to dictate central bank policy moving forward here in terms of either ramping up rate hikes or pulling back on the rate hikes? Is it market factors, market moves? Is it economic data? What in your eyes would make any of these central banks alter their path, which seems to be moving towards 50 basis points most meetings?
Yeah, so what could it change? I think that, you know, I've been suggesting that the Fed raises rates until they break something. And I thought that earlier this week, we had that ADP estimate for the U.S., ADP private sector jobs estimate, which is poor, proved wide of the mark. But I think the market reacted. It took interest rates lower, took the stock market higher. And I think that sort of illustrates what the market, sort of this bad news, good news scenario you painted. I think that if the market thinks that the Fed's close to breaking something, it'll take a bigger pullback in housing. It'll take a much weaker labor market. And I think out of those factors that could be broken, that the Fed could break, I won't put the stock market very high on that list. The Federal Reserve, right, might have to tighten financial conditions. And the stock market and other, like, say, financial assets are part of the tightening that's going to have to happen through the financial conditions.
All right, Mark, we'll wrap it up here. A lot to take in, but again, so much focus on these central banks. And as much as some people want to believe that the central banks are going to switch course next meeting, next week, next month, whatever it might be, we seem to be seeing more and more central banks going in to rate increases and, quite frankly, continuing that tightening cycle, trying to pull down inflation. It really does seem to be the first time that central banks are so focused on inflation and okay with market pullbacks that they are going to stay the course. Let's see how long they can stomach that. Mark, thank you as always for your time. Great chatting with you, buddy. Hopefully we'll chat next week. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks. Good luck to everybody.